I messed up with my kid again. But come on, mistakes are inevitable. It's about how we recover. It can feel like failures are fatal, but they're not. We believe that you were made and equipped by God to be an amazing parent. We believe that you can do this, and we're here to help. I'm Lena Schuler, mom of two, and I'm joined by Chuck, father of three, and Kim, mother of five, and grandmother of seven more. Today, we're talking about recovering from failure. How do I get over that feeling? How did you get over that feeling of feeling like you were failing or feeling like you were constantly missing out on being present with your kids because of all of the other things you were trying to do at the same time?
I think that, so there's two questions there. How do you manage that I think I'm failing thing, mm-hmm. and then the being present? I think as far as the feeling thing, I mean, I'll bring this up a lot talking about parenting. It's about community. Because sometimes I forget who I am and I need somebody else to remind me. I may have done something that I shouldn't have done in the moment, but that doesn't define who I am as a mom or as a person. So having people, and also having friends that are in the same stage of life or farther ahead than you, help normalize some of the stuff you're going through.
Right.
It's like, Lena, I'm sorry that Louis fell down the step, but really, kids fall down the steps.
Totally.
This is not a game changer. This is just one little event.
Mm-hmm. So you would say having people to remind you of the truth that you're not failing is really important.
And to normalize. I mean, because we compare ourselves to images of people that aren't real.
Right.
Then we get all confused as far as what's normal. So being around people that are open and vulnerable and can help normalize the things we're going through. And as far as being present, I read an article by a mom who talked about she just one day she was sitting with her kid and she realized she was on her screen. So she just sat it down for like 20 minutes. And during that time, she counted how many times her toddler looked at her for affirmation. It was like 20 times. It was
wow.
like once a minute. And she said, if I'd been on my screen, I would have missed that opportunity to give him a thumbs up or to smile and nod and say, good job coming down the slide.
Right.
And I think remembering that, I mean, we all have, well, not all, I have phone issues too. But so what do you do with your phone? Do you carry it around with you on your person all the time in the house even?
Most of the time. And this is so embarrassing what I'm about to say. And here it is, another failure. One of the first things that my son learned to do was pick up the phone and hold it up to his ear. He walks around. He's 14 months, and he holds the phone up to his face, and not like to text. Although he can. He like moves his fingers on the screen. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Nick and I were convicted. We're like, we are spending too much time with this device around us because he's one, and he knows what to do with it.
My daughter and her husband have a basket at their house.
That's brilliant.
And like on Sundays, they put their phones in a basket during mealtime. Like if you eat dinner at her house, so here's my daughter training me. When I go to dinner at her house, we can't take our phones to the table.
That's
they
great.
Just don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good, that's a good practice.
That's a great practice.
Yep.
Okay, let's all get baskets.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll buy everybody a basket.
That's right. Everybody.
About the eye basket.
You too, if you're listening. If you call now,
we'll get. Yes. Oh, don't say that.
No,
we're
going
to get all the emails.
That's true. We'll get all the emails.
You can buy your own basket. Dang it.
Man. Hey, can I just, want to build on what Kim said.
Yeah.
And specifically, I want to speak to dads because I think that, I'm just going to say this. When I hear you, Kim, say, man, I have my circle of moms. I have my tribe of people who I could talk to about that. I think women. More women are more predisposed to engage that
right.
than men typically are.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my dad is an exception in this, but I'll just say my dad growing up, my dad had no friends. I never saw my dad like face to face with a guy talking about anything deep. Never ever saw that. And I think that's true, not just for my dad. I think there's a lot of guys who are like, all right, I'm a father. And in some ways, being a dad pulls us away from our community. Because if you want to be a good dad, you got like, I'm working, I'm doing this. I'm trying to save my time for my kids. And I would just say for men and fathers out there, it is equally important that we have a tribe, that we have men who we can talk about these kinds of things with, where we feel like we can have a level of vulnerability about the challenges we have with fatherhood. I'm really thankful that I have men in my life that I can talk to about that. And I think the other thing that you mentioned is so true. We need models. Mm-hmm. We need role models. We need somebody who is a couple steps ahead. And I find that when you start engaging somebody who's a parent, people do this to me and I do it to others. People are willing to share for the most part. They're willing to share, like, here's what went well and here's what didn't go well.
Right.
Because they don't want you to make the same mistakes that they made. So I just want to encourage men who are listening. Man, if you don't have a guy or a group of guys who you talk about specifically being a dad with, I want to encourage you to lean into that. Look for opportunities to do that, because I think that has been one of the things that's helped me grow as a dad the most.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my husband said that time and time again. Like, I just, to get to work all day, to get home from work, to make you as my wife feel supported and loved, and then spend time with my child, and then to figure out how to add meaningful friendship on top of that. It's just, it's hard. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. So how'd you find those people? Who are they? How'd you find them? Maybe how did you even ask the question to people, like, hey, I mean, do you literally go, hey, you want to be my friend and talk about how hard it is to be a dad?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
What's that look like?
I think people are afraid. People are afraid to just make, like, even now, Lena, you're kind of making fun of it. Hey, will you be my friend? But really, people are afraid to invite others in, because we all look around and we think everybody always has their tribe or already has their tribe. But what I have found is when I do reach out and invite people to do something, more often than not, once we get together, they're feeling kind of lonely and isolated, too. And so when my kids were little, there was a group of three women, and we just sort of found each other. You know, here's somebody with the same age kid as you, and we just started hanging out, and it's messy, and sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes you might think somebody's going to be your buddy and your pal, and you're not. And then if they're not, then don't give up. Keep on trying.
Right.
Because there are people out there for us to be in community with.
Well, I make fun of that question because I do honestly think we go, I mean, in school, you know who your friends are. You're in school with them. Mm-hmm. When you go to college, you know who your friends are. You live with them.
Right.
In work, you have your work friends. Well, how do you find your mom friends and your dad friends? Is it literally at the playground? You see someone whose kid looks like your kid and you think, well, maybe I'll like that person. I mean, where do you find these friends? And then what does that first conversation look like?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I don't think there is an easy answer to it. The thing that has helped me is to figure out where are the places I'm already going to be investing.
Yes.
So right now for me, I'm building friendships with the fathers of my kids' classmates.
Yeah.
Because you know what? There's going to be that booster club thing. There's the spring Mayfet at our school. There's the open house. There's the Halloween this. And you find yourself in the common places with these folks. And so I'm just, you know, and it is the, hey, will you be my friend? It's like, hey, man, let's grab coffee. Let's talk about this thing, you know, or let's just get together. Some schools have dads and donuts, and they have an environment where dads get a chance to engage. I do think that asking that question is really important. I will say, and again, not everybody who is listening to this is near a crossroads location or maybe even into God or church. But I do think that this is one of the many helpful things that I found in a bunch of churches, not just Crossroads. We have a group called Fathers, and they meet at 6:03 in the morning.
6:03,
not 6:02, not 6:04. The 6:03 is tradition, but the 6 in the morning is because men who work can, it's a sacrifice, but that's a time when they're going to be able to consistently connect. And I think that's powerful. I went through Fathers and I spent 9 months on a journey with these guys learning about getting schooled on what it meant to be a dad. You know, things like club time, like the intentionality of one-on-one time with your kids, which is what they call club time, and what that meant, and how to honor and support your wife in the midst of raising children. All of that was really powerful. And being in groups of men who have been on that journey together, some of the people that I now lean on for support have come out of those things. So I would encourage somebody who's like, man, where would I find that? I'd encourage you to start looking and seeing if that's a place where you can plug in and jump in and find some of those friendships of guys, you know, or women looking for the same thing.
Yeah, and I think, too, that's really good. Because so many of my good friends I met through church.
Yeah.
But also inviting people into what's already going on in your life rather than trying to create space. Because, you know, Lena, you work full time. You know, your husband works full time. So look at what you're already doing. So, like, for us, on Saturday mornings, everybody eats breakfast on Saturday morning. So we invite a bunch of people over every Saturday morning, and it just becomes tradition, and people do that. I used to have a girlfriend that I went to Kroger with.
Yeah.
You know, I would just go grocery shopping with her because we had to shop.
Right.
And I think too often it is hard anyway, like you said, Chuck, but we make it even harder by trying to create more. We only have so much time in the
day. Right, we try to cram it in. Sure. I read in a book somewhere, couldn't tell you what book, but some book, that you've got 21 meals a week. What does it look like to just pick one of your 21 meals and invite other people into that meal with you? Yeah. That's a great, easy invite. I know we've found to say, well, we're going to eat. I mean, just like your Saturday morning, we're going to eat dinner anyways.
That's right.
You got 7 dinners a week. One of them we can invite people into and hope that some, you know, meaningful conversation happens. Be intentional about that. Just try to have fun around the dinner table with more than just our little family.
And don't make it too fancy and complicated.
Right. Some of the best,
I told Chuck about this once, one of the best lunches I ever had, a girlfriend lunch, the dog ate the quiche before the people got there.
Yes.
And so all the, you know, as the girls arrived, they're like, man, it smells good. And I'm like, well, the dog ate it. We're having iceberg lettuce and saltines because that's all I have. Well, that was 20 years ago and we still talk about it.
That's awesome.
And so that has really helped, like Mark, my husband and I, realize that people aren't, well, for one, if they're coming for the food, then they probably aren't going to be your people anyway.
Right.
Order a pizza.
Yeah.
Heat up tomato soup and make grilled cheese.
Yes. Yeah.
It just doesn't have to be that hard.
That's great. We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.